Hello, everyone. Listen, I'm just going to come out and say it. We don't have a new episode this week, as you probably could tell. Our schedule's a bit all over the place. We're preparing for the Wes Anderson series, and we've had to record it a little bit differently. So, the schedule's a bit different. So, next week we will be starting the official Wes Anderson series, starting with his first movie, Bottle Rocket. And as I said, we're just releasing the Patreon today, but it'll give us a bit of time. I want to add a bit more production value to the ones that we have coming up as well. And we have to think of scheduling because we may or may not have people on with us. I've said too much already. But this Patreon episode that we did was our top five 2000s comedies. The golden era, if you will, for comedic films. So we break down our top five and it was a whole load of fun. We have a bunch of clips in there for you to enjoy and reminisce and all that. So if you haven't heard it, I hope you enjoy it. And if you like it and you think, hey, I'd like to hear about 30 of their other top fives, and also what's that MCU series they're always banging on about, and etc., and 100 plus episodes, etc., you can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/whatsogreatabout, if you want. If not, hey, main feed, you know I still love you either way. So on that note, I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to stop talking in this weird way, and then I hope no one from work walks in and asks, what am I doing? So I'm going to say goodbye, enjoy this episode, and we will catch you next week for the big Wes Anderson. Goodbye.
To the podcast starring me. I don't know why I'm doing it differently. Terry, I got something for that ass, Terry.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I got five on it.
Another top five. The man said it himself.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, this was a tough one. Top five 2000s comedies. Now, were you sticking to strictly 2000 to 2010?
100%. If it was 99, can't get it. Okay. If it was 2011?
I didn't do a check on it, but I'm pretty sure all mine are.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Are you all right?
17, 18, 19, 20. I have 20 on my short list.
Whoa, 20?
20. Okay. Now, some of them are like at number 20. That would never make it. But I was like literally worth listing off the thing. Yeah.
What we're going to do as well is we're going to rank them in terms of like... Now, and I think we should rank them in terms of like how we felt after watching each one of them. You know what I mean? In terms of that was fucking
at the
hilarious.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like we'll do a top five then and a top five now, because some of them hold up better than others, I'll say.
I think we should do our top five. We should do our top five now.
For now. Okay.
Like that should be the main focus. Okay. And then we can rattle through what at the time what our top five was, because I for me some of the ones that are on my now are on my then,
okay,
just in different positions.
Okay. Well, do you want to go first with your number five, Terry?
Sure. My number five is, I actually think it's a classic, and looking at the year it came out, it was a banner year for comedies.
2004.
2008.
Oh, okay.
It is a Will Ferrell, Adam McKay joint starring my man, John C. Reilly. It's Step Brothers.
Hell yeah. I will say, Terry, that this is my number five as well.
How simpatico. This was one at the time I didn't really get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like the instant, like,
yeah, like some of the others.
I didn't go see it in the cinema.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go see it in the cinema. I remember like watching it and liking it.
This was a real DVD movie. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But this was a real DVD era.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Like, I don't know anyone who's seen this in the cinema.
Yeah, I know a couple because because it was weird. It was like Will Ferrell, you know, had it. I guess Anchorman was the big one for him, and then he had like a slew of like
not as good.
I did, you know what? I didn't even put it on like something like Semi Pro, or you know, which I
not
fucking
even
loved.
Worth a mention in this podcast.
I love it, love it. It's so good. But like you had Semi Pro, you had like Talladega Nights, who
also,
like some people
not
like
great.
Some people think that's like one of his best. Not. Mental. But like he ran through a kind of like bunch of crappy ones. So by the time this one came around, I was
a little
like,
bit
I'm
of the sheen had been.
I'm not gonna go see Will with the latest Will Ferrell one.
Flop.
You kind of should have known a little bit better that like the premise is too.
It's too
in
perfect.
Other hands, yeah, it's too perfect, but it's also too silly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you know, in other hands, it wouldn't work. I think they just everything.
It was the perfect combination of actors and writers and directors. You know, like, and the chemistry between the two of them is really what made it. Like, this was a real sleeper movie for ages. Like, it wasn't. I never heard it like blowing up or anything like this, or people recommending it or anything like that. It was just something that everyone eventually saw and agreed was brilliant.
Yeah, like in 2008, it wasn't the hit.
Yeah,
but. Between 2010 and 2020, it was.
It like really gained it after it, didn't it?
Like it was like the snowball rolling down the hill.
Yeah,
there's so many good bits in it. Like I still always say, so many room for activities. Whenever we're moving anything, whenever we move anything in the house, we do a little switch around of like
the couch over here.
Like, oh, so much more room for activities, like you know, you know, things like that. Like,
yeah.
No power tools.
You know what? I forgot it's a brush for my teeth.
That is not your toothbrush.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm all done anyway.
We did it.
We did it.
It looked amazing.
Look at that. That looks like what you would buy from a store.
It should have been.
Look at all this floor space.
So
much. Your aerobics in here.
So many activities.
Do step class.
It's making my head spin how many activities we can do.
Play army man.
Yeah.
This is how we do it.
Da, 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 da.
Hey, I never asked you.
Yeah.
You like guacamole? Oh! Oh, God! Run it! Run it! Dad, Nancy, it's bad. It's so bad. There's blood everywhere. The bunk beds were a terrible idea. Why did you let us do that? It's so bad!
The amount of quotes, I think, that we'll go through, even in this list, of just quotes that we use every day. Like, these were... So, like, we would have been mid-20... No.
Yeah.
15 to, like, 25, roughly. Or you would have been...
Yes, for these ones, Yeah.
Roughly, something like that. So they would have been the age that we'd have been when these came out. Like, I mean, prime for these sort of movies. Like,
impressionable.
We were really... I keep thinking, like, we were really at such an amazing age for these. Like, is this just because I'm looking at it through our lens of our age? But, like, we were, you know, we didn't get the internet until we were 12, 13. Of right age. The Attitude Era was when we were 13, like the exact right age. This slew of comedy movies that came out when we were, like, you know, at the peak age to enjoy them. I feel like we've been quite lucky as we've gone on.
And also, though, like you mentioned earlier on, DVD.
Yeah.
Like, DVD...
It was king.
At this time.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody... Like, I just found a box of DVDs that I hadn't sold there that I have to sell because, like, they take up too much room. I like my precious Blu-rays. No, I can't dump them.
Dump them. No one's buying them. Chapters is closed.
Don't get me started. Thingy though, fucking Sex or they'll buy it off me.
All right, I give you $2 for the whole box.
Sold. Just glad to have him out of the house. That won't even pay for the bundle.
Try the strings.
Oh,
excellent.
So that was my number five.
Excellent. Well, that's my number five as well, Terry. So will I go for a number four? Do you want to go to your number four?
You can go for your number four. Yeah, let you have at it, Hoss.
I am going to go... See, now I'm judging this now. I'm going to go with Anchorman as number four. Now, I will say that this was higher in my back then list.
Well, we'll do the back then.
Yeah, I won't give the afterwards. Number, but I will say for now, I think it was actually a groundbreaking comedy. Dare I say? I feel like, and I remember we specifically. You look like you're really holding your tongue there. I remember specifically. You, when we first started working in Centre, you kept talking about the
There was nobody in Ireland as excited for this film.
I will agree.
As me.
And you always said the full title, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. You'd always say the full thing. And you kept talking, like, that was like your thing. I remember, like, you loved, like, hadn't even come out yet, but you were just excited to see it.
Went to see it on opening night. Went to Crete the next day. When we were in Crete, we got temporary tattoos. My one was, I love scotch. Scotch, scotch, scotch. Down in my belly.
You know, the reason why it's fairly low on my list.
I will tell you now, it didn't make my top five.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were holding your tongue because it was going to be, okay.
Didn't make my top five.
Okay.
Which is crazy. I know.
See, now, like... Nowadays, like, even like, honestly, some of my honorable mentions I probably would watch ahead of this, but I feel it deserves, because this was a real, like, at the time when it came out, it was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen, like, and it was so, like, every one of those every 30 seconds it's just there's something crazy happening, or it was just perfect. The characters were great. You know, there was it's just a shame it's been so quoted since then.
Like, I would give you a bit of, like, because Will Ferrell is in my number five movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about Anchorman here. Like, I remember seeing Will Ferrell in, like, a movie called Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the movie where it was like.
Heard of it.
It was Kirsten Dunst and. Who's the other girl in it? And it was like, basically they were the ones that, like, discovered the Nixon Watergate tapes.
Right.
Right? And who the fuck was the other girl in it? But Dick... Oh, it's Michelle Williams, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Academy Award winner.
Yeah, he's got
Michelle Williams. Yeah, I know. It's my thing, Andy. But the opening scene of the movie is like Woodward and Bernstein, who, you know, cracked the Watergate thing.
Right.
And they're being interviewed, and the whole thing with, like, Deep Throat was their thing. And it's like somebody's being interviewed, and it's whoever is with Will Ferrell is like almost with the spill of the beans. Like, so who was Deep Throat? And he's like, oh, well, he was. And Will Ferrell is just sitting there, and he's like, don't say it! Like, and I just remember being like, I remember, like, watching it at like 11 o'clock on a, you know, Sky movies channel on a Wednesday or something. And I was like, I was like pissing myself. Like, he's not in the movie ever again. I was like, this guy. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
The first time I saw him was Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, as the cop Andy. I should have put that on my list as well.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Honorable mention.
We'll say it now. But, like, he was amazing.
He was so good. So I think Anchorman was his real breakout role. And it was just...
I remember,
so different. Like, it was such a... It was just so funny. It seemed like the whole thing was improvised almost.
But that was the problem, though, as well. Because, like, they... Same with Anchorman 2. Like, they were able to make up another movie from the outtakes. From all the improvs. Like, I remember, like, buying the US import of Anchorman.
Yeah.
Where it had, like, Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. And it was, like, Anchorman, The Legend Continues.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, another movie.
Was it good?
No.
All right.
And it was, like, the whole thing was, like, it was a movie about, like...
It wasn't a real... It was just, like, they're called it a movie, but...
They just piece it together, like, from stuff, and it was like a whole subplot that they were maybe going to use that they didn't use.
Right.
It was like there was this terrorist group called the Alarm Clock from the guy that was in, like, You know your man Kevin Corrigan? If I ever exist, Professor Professorson.
Oh yeah,
from Community. Like he was like the leader of the alarm clock. Like
also features in another of my top five. I'll say.
Oh well. Anyway, but like even like leading up to it before being released over here, I remember watching like they had like the US top 10 countdown show. And I'd be seeing it every week. They play the trailer every week. It's like, oh,
give me this movie.
Yeah, they're like, they're playing like, Carry On My Wayward Son. You're like, just, I can't wait. Like,
it seems like it's so you as well at 2004, was it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like
it would have been the year after I finished school.
Yeah. And it was just, I mean, Paul Rudd's hilarious. The scene that always gets me was the whole like they're giving out about your one like them hiring Veronica a woman
Corningstone.
Yeah, and all like and you get the quotable ones like it's like the bears smell the menstruation.
Bears dead.
Yeah, now you put the whole station in jeopardy. But like
that's a great one though.
It's the fact that like when he's talking about your one, he's like, I'd like to put some barbecue sauce on that thing. And, oh, nom, 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 nom. And they're all laughing. And she comes in and they all stay upright. And then as soon as she leaves, he's like, oh, she is a feisty mom. I mean, I would. And then it cuts. It was just in there, learn nothing. Like.
My favorite line in it is when like he has the big beard and he's, you know,
he's
walking in the sun and it, like everybody used to always go like, oh, milk was a bad choice. Like, hate that line. But the bit before it was like, he's walking along, he's like, hey, lady in the red hat, all right. It's like, like, clearly just like, just riffing. Do your thing. Yeah, just do your thing, Will. And
One thing that I do say, two things I say that come out of this movie. One is, it's so damn hot whenever it's hot from that scene. Yeah. And the other one is, works 80% of the time. Every time, all the time. Or whatever it is. So I'm sure there's like a dozen others. But
even the whole thing of like the dueling, like the big fucking news fight.
Oh, what a scene.
And he's like, you want to dance? I want a polka.
I want a polka. Come get a taste. Rick, where'd you get a hand grenade?
I don't know.
All right. Let's do this. Hey! If you're gonna have a fight, then don't forget Channel 2 News with me, lead anchor Frank Pritchard.
You dirtbags have been in third place for 5 years.
Yeah, well, you're about to be in dead place.
Like, you dirtbags have been in third place. He's like, oh yeah, well, you're going to be in dead place.
What is it about Luke Wilson that's just so funny? He's just so this like, magic about
even the way he cocks the like he dead cooks place. It's like a saw, like a portable desk saw. He's like, brilliant. Dead place.
It's like no touching of the hair and face. Of course. So really, really good.
But I remember like seeing an interview with like Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller, and they were saying that year alone they were in 4 movies together.
They were if you
counted Anchorman,
right?
Because they were like, oh, we were in like 3, and then like Ben Stiller was like 4. I mean, if you count Anchorman, and he was like, oh yeah, of course, like,
crazy.
Yeah, like they're in that one scene together. But
they were churning them out. That was the time, like the mid 2000s.
Yeah, make hay while the sun is shining.
Like. And it's mad how it's kind of gone. Like they were like the first wave, and then you had like the Seth Rogen, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride sort of wave after that, and it all seemed to seamlessly sort of just happen one after the next. You know what I mean? It didn't seem like there was a lull there.
Well, if you think about it, that it was like Seth Rogen is in Anchorman, as like the camera operator. Yeah, he's like, I'm getting some great stuff here, Miss Corden. That's his thing. And it also kind of links into, like, say, somebody like Judd Apatow.
Yeah. Heavily involved in love.
Yeah, he's producing. He was producing Anchorman. So,
do you think that movies aren't as, like, comedies aren't as good, or is it just that we don't find it funny anymore? You know what I mean?
They've given up on making the cinematic comedy movie,
like the big blockbuster comedy.
Because
why?
And this is something that, like, it might. I remember just, like, I heard it on another podcast, and as soon as somebody said it makes sense. That white people don't go see comedies in the theater.
Hmm.
And if you look at somebody
don't
like
we, though?
Tyler Perry, who does, like, he makes his, like, he's a black man.
Yeah.
He makes his comedies for his black audience.
Yeah.
They always make money. Because black audiences go and see these movies.
Right.
What it was like, they've stopped since, like, the start of the 2010s. Like, the last big comedy movie. Bridesmaids.
Yeah, something like that. Like, there's a few like the Amy Schumer ones and stuff. They'd be the more, like.
But, like, they're diminishing returns. Like, you know, like, in terms of box office and in terms of like Bridesmaids was a fucking monster hit.
That was
like nominated for an Academy Award.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well. Like, you never see
comedies really.
And I find that very, like. So I remember I was listening to Blind Boy's podcast on it there, which again I would highly recommend. It's very good, but
very intelligent fellow.
Yeah, really, and he's like exactly our age. But anyway, he's sort of on our same sort of frequency or whatever. But he was saying about how, like, there's this sort of like thing about when you become an adult that, like, you have to, like, this learned solemnity or something, as he was saying, where you have to, like, be serious and stuff like that. And he's like. I think it was when he was making the point of just how comedy in the arts is just not taken as seriously as other genres.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a weird, like, I feel like we've used this term a lot tonight, but blind spot of, like, whatever. I mean, I know awards are, you know, whatever, they're all subjective, but, like, it just seems like there's no, you know, you never really see comedy in the same league as. Has to be a drama, has to be serious, has to be, you know.
Best picture for this year, right? We'll just say.
Mm-hmm.
Best picture 2022. What movies are nominated? If you were to look at it, it's what we went through the last time. Hold on, why isn't it full nominations coming up? It's Power of the Dog, right? Belfast, West Side Story. Okay, Licorice Pizza, Coda, Don't Look Up, King Richard, Drive My Car, Dune, Nightmare Alley. Did I say West Side Story?
Yes.
So of those there, you would say Licorice Pizza and maybe Don't Look Up?
Well, that's the thing, but they're comedies, like, in the sense that there's jokes in them. I mean, I don't know about Licorice, and I haven't seen it either. But
Licorice Pizza is...
I'm more thinking Don't
Look Up. A very funny movie. But right. Like, Licorice Pizza is a very funny movie. There's, you know, but it's, you could also say it's kind of a drama. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
But, like, it's not like...
I've noticed
this
that
is
even
your big comedy movie of the year.
That's the thing. I miss those. I miss those big... I mean, they could be misses, but, like, where are they gone? Like, what's happened? You know, like, it seems...
They don't make enough money. Even when they do them on streaming, it's... The people that are getting to do them for streaming aren't...
Hmm.
You know?
What's your number four, Terry?
My number four is... A little movie... Speaking of Seth Rogen.
Uh-huh.
He stars, he writes, he produces. It's Superbad, Andy.
Hell yeah, Terry.
I remember coming back from Thailand, having bought the bootleg DVD of this movie, and just being, like, blown away, George. Blown!
From minute one, it's hilarious.
Like, and, like, this is for now, like, I still think it still hits.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bit of a hard time like I had to bump something. I had to bump forgetting Sarah Marshall off my list.
Oh, that was on the top five for a while, was it?
I think that's a fantastic movie. Oh, okay. I think it's really fucking good.
Didn't even think of that one actually.
It's really good. Like it just in terms of as
it
a
was
movie,
funny, yeah.
As a rom com,
yeah.
You know, but also like you see Jason Segel's dick in it twice, like so it's not, you know, like it's not, it's a body comedy, like,
yeah,
you know, but it knocked that off there. But like there's something so exciting.
Superbad about, like, was
exciting, wasn't
exciting.
It
like, and I will, I don't know if I should say, but it's on my list as well.
Save it for
I'll
when
save it, I'll save the number, but it was just, it seemed like it was just the perfect, like it seemed that was almost like the peak, almost, I think, you know what I mean, even though it's not,
you know what, you can just say what number it is actually.
It was my number two.
Okay.
Because it was just, I just remember absolutely loving it from the second I started watching it. I loved every minute
it's
of
Murderer's
it.
Murderer's Row, yeah. As well, of
and
like,
everyone's like giving like their best, one of their best comedic performances. You know,
the
like,
first time you're introduced to Jonah Hill,
yeah,
who now you look at and you think like is a like really talented,
yeah,
actor, not just a comedic actor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like his turn in Wolf of Wall Street is very, very funny, but he's also very good.
He's really good.
You know,
but and in this one he just seems, I think Seth Rogen was going to play it but he was a bit too old.
The whole thing, it was supposed to be Martin Starr, Jason Segel and Seth Rogen was the original three,
right?
And then they aged out of it by the time they you know had enough cachet to get it made.
Yeah,
so then it was like Jonah Hill, who was also older, like I think he was like 5 years older than Michael Cera,
yeah,
and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who I think he was like 16 at the time. McLovin, like, yeah, and like Michael Cera was 17 or 18, and then like Jonah Hill was in his early 20s.
I heard like Jonah and Christopher Mintz-Plasse like really didn't
get
on
time,
and it really helped the you know the filming. I think it was like almost like an open joke or something on the set that like he bugged him or something like that.
I remember like listening to the commentary for that, and they have like three people in New York. And they have like five in LA and you're doing a conferencing.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's like Judd Apatow, Jonah Hill, and I think maybe Bill Hader are in New York. But Jonah Hill comes off such an arsehole because he just seems like he's like, fuck, he's cursing all the time. And like Judd Apatow's like, my kid is here. Will you stop cursing? Like, and then like, he's like, oh, sorry, just not fucking bring your kid to. Like, and it's not a bit, like, you know,
right.
He's like, let's not bring your fucking kid to work day. And he's like, whatever, man, it's just a crutch. Like, try and be funny without swearing, will you? And like, you know, there's this like energy that
like he plays in This Is the End, basically, yeah, like, but, you know, pretending to be a nice guy, but like, isn't really.
Yeah, there's this weird, like you say, it's exciting energy. And even like Dave Franco being in it, and like,
yeah.
Seth Rogen, and I think it's
Bill
like,
Hader.
No, I think he was in the New York one, but it's like Seth Rogen,
all right.
Michael Cera. I'm trying to think, there was like a couple older ones, but it's like when he comes on screen, Seth Rogen's like, he's like, Dave Franco. He's like, he's the kind of guy you would think, what part of his mouth would I want in and around my penis?
You know, like, what again, I like about
this is the kind of stuff that like in the 2000s,
well, that was just hilarious, like, yeah. You know,
and it's funny, it's still funny because they're friends. But it's not like he's like saying this about somebody who is that doesn't know,
yeah,
you know what I mean, like they're all part of this clique.
Yeah,
they're,
that's
they're
it.
All,
like, and
all
it seemed like such fun. I remember I was listening to the commentary of that movie and I was like, it just seemed like they had such fun of like your man, you know, where he's like, it's like, do you know whatever? He's like, you look just like his brother. You do, man. And he's like,
Joe
like,
Trulio.
Yeah, he's just like rubbing his knee. Like, this guy, his energy.
I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. I'm totally, so sorry, man.
Yeah. I'm a totally non-violent warrant out for my arrest.
And like,
so Jimmy's just, little brother.
And the whole thing of like, just even
it's
even little things like the drawing of the dicks at the start, like,
yeah.
You know,
just couldn't stop. Just stop drawing.
Like, it reminded me of being young.
You used to draw. You were
of course.
No stranger from Dixman.
I was a Coxman. But yeah, just so funny. They're all like,
it's a solid movie. That's the thing. Just in terms of, it's a very funny movie, but it's a solid from start to finish.
A lot of the times where comedies fall down is
when, the story.
When they have to, the first half an hour, fucking hilarious, and then they have to get into the story and, like, you know, tell a real thing, and it just it goes a bit flat. So, like, Superbad doesn't do that, and I know their serious thing is still more juvenile. It's like, we're friends and we're breaking up or whatever, you know, that sort of stuff.
It's relatable.
Exactly.
You know, everybody kind of went through it, like, you know, and the pacing is great. The script is fucking great. Even, like, something like, they're talking about the girl who has, like, the breast reduction surgery, and he's like, I gotta get a look at these warlocks. Yeah. And then, like, they come back, and he's like, I can't believe she did it. He's like, she had to, man. I think she was like, gonna have that back surgery or something. Like, little things like that. Like, have you ever looked into that guy's eyes? First time I heard the Beatles, man. Yeah. You know? That was like unreal writing. Like,
that's the thing. It was the writing, like, that
paired with the performances.
Yeah.
Wait, you changed your name to McLovin? McLovin? What kind of a stupid name is that, Fogle? What, are you trying to be an Irish R&B singer?
Oh, they let you pick any name you want when you get down there.
And you landed on McLovin.
Yeah, I was between that and Muhammad.
Why the fuck would it be between that or Muhammad? Why don't you just pick a common name like a normal person?
Muhammad is the most commonly used name on Earth. Read a fucking book for once.
Fogle, have you ever actually met anyone named Muhammad?
Have you actually ever met anyone named McLovin?
No, that's why you picked a dumb fucking name.
Fuck you.
Give me that. All right. You look like a future pedophile in this picture, number one. Number two, it doesn't even have a first name. It just says McLovin.
What? One name? One name? Who are you, Seal?
Fogle, this ID says you're 25 years old. Why wouldn't you just put 21, man?
Seth, listen up, ass face. Every day, hundreds of kids go into the liquor store with their fake IDs, and every single one says they're 21. How many 21-year-olds do you think there are in this town? It's called fucking strategy, all right?
Let's stay calm, okay? Let's not lose our heads. No. It's a fine ID. It's gonna work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible. I mean, it's up to you, Fogle. This guy's either gonna think here's another kid with a fake ID, or here's McLovin, the 25-year-old Hawaiian organ donor. Okay? So what's it gonna be?
I am McLovin.
No, you're not. No one's McLovin. McLovin's never existed because that's a made-up, dumb, fucking fairy tale name, you fuck!
And it was so... It just felt so authentic. It felt like, you know...
So much love put into it, because it was a labor of love, and they weren't going to just be like, oh, we'll just cast whoever.
Yeah.
They took their time. And but like,
I'm never bored with it as well. I'm never like, oh, I'm not mad on the next 10 minutes or whatever. I'm always just interested in, even like Michael Cera, when he goes to that party and he has to sing for them and all this sort of stuff.
Sing Little Jimmy.
Yeah, and you know, just all these little things that they get into and all, but I just thought it was, yeah.
The hurt on me, babe. it's just great, and like, you know, made Emma Stone a star.
Oh yeah,
we can all be thankful for that. She's great in it. She's great. Well. She's so good in it. Like, so that was your. That's also your number two.
So
maybe I should go with my number three, and then you go your number three.
Sure.
After me, my number three is. I love a spoof.
Go on.
My number three is. Walk hard.
Oh, yeah.
Hard. Down Lance. Rocky Road. Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story is my number three. Went to see it in the cinema. Thought it was good. When I got it on DVD, I wore that puppy out.
See, I've only seen it like once or twice. Oh, I don't remember it that well.
So good, Andy. Like,
I remember liking it. Like,
it's like, he's like, I'm going to walk this walk. And I'm going to walk it hard. Walk hard, and then like he's writing the song, and then like just like that, like taking the piss out of any sort of biopic that it's like that's how he was inspired, or like it's like at one point it's like okay you got me, I was having an affair, guilty as charged. She's like, Dewey Cox, if you're writing a song right now, I swear to God,
was that was Walk Hard the one where it was like. He's like, don't do it. Where he comes in, he sees him smoking weed.
Get out of here, Dewey.
What are y'all doing in here?
We're smoking reefer. And you don't want no part of this shit.
You're smoking reefers?
Yeah, of course we are. Can't you smell it?
No, Sam, I can't.
Come on, Dewey. Join the party.
No, Dewey, you don't want this. Get out of here.
You know what? I don't want no hangover. I can't get no hangover.
It doesn't give you a hangover.
Well, I get addicted to it or something?
It's not habit forming.
Oh, okay, well, I don't know. I don't want to overdose on it.
You can't OD on it.
It's not going to make me want to have sex, is it?
It makes sex even better.
Sounds kind of expensive.
It's the cheapest drug there is.
Hmm.
You don't want it.
I think I kind of want it.
Okay, but just this once. Come on in.
It kind of sounds expensive. It's like, it's the cheapest drug there is. That's like the Fort Beat, though. Like, yeah, yeah. You know, into it. Like,
there's like a little Lancer thing.
It's like, it looks like I could probably get addicted. It's not habit forming. Do it. You don't want none of this shit. Like, it's like, sounds pretty expensive. It's the cheapest drug around.
I do remember that bit. I remember cracking up that it's the cheapest drug there is.
I don't know why, maybe as I get older, like a dick joke.
Like, yeah.
You know. And at one point, it's like he's on the phone, and it's literally just the top halves of all these men cut off, just walking around like dicks everywhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just find that really funny. I love the music. I love John C. Reilly's performance. And I love his dad.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he's like, you know, the whole thing of like he cuts his brother in half. Yeah. It's so ridiculous. Like, it's so...
It starts off ridiculous. Like,
yeah, but like... Is it any more ridiculous than like some of these musical biopics, like, you know, Ray, yeah. how Ray Charles gets blinded in the movie? It's like, oh, so
how does he get blinded in the movie?
It's like he's like put in a barrel of water or something like that. I can't really, that's how it happened in real life, but the way they do it in the movie, it's like when you see it, something like, let's have a chainsaw fight, or, you know, like a machete, and like he cuts his brother in half, and then the whole thing with the dad's like, the wrong kid, dad.
I remember that, yeah.
And then he's like, oh, Pa, don't say something you're going to regret. Like, he said this, like, 10 times.
He keeps saying it.
Like, what? The wrong kid, dad? She's like, oh, no! Or the fact, you know, where the first time you see Dewey Cox, it's like when he's 16, and it's just John C. Reilly. He's like, yes, Mama? Like, curled
balding
hair.
Balding, sort of.
His hair is just a bit curled and stuff. He's like, it's just me, your 16-year-old Dewey Cox.
I do remember liking that.
They do the whole thing, you know, he does his Bob Dylan phase, he meets the Beatles, he does his Brian Wilson phase, like, it's fucking deadly. Like,
I must give that another watch.
So good.
I wish I could relate more to that one. I'll have to give that one.
That was one that, like, especially with the music, like, I have the, I think it's on my Mac, the, like, the 2-disc soundtrack. Like, John C. Reilly does all the songs himself, and they're all deadly. Like, they're all really, really good. Like,
John C. Reilly's a bit of a weird one for me, because I don't love him in everything.
I absolutely love him in everything. Right. Like anything
but,
I see.
But I do love him in certain things, but, you know, he's not always...
I love
always.
Him in his drama stuff. I love him in...
I feel like he needs a partner, I find.
Like, he's literally in Licorice Pizza for 10 seconds. They're at something, they're at like some kids teen event, like it's like a teen expo or something, and like he's playing the guy who plays Grandpa Munster.
All right.
And he's like, yes, I am Grandpa Munster, but no, I'm not open yet, you can't stand here. And then the camera just pans by him and never comes back to him. It just made me like cackle out loud.
That's
it. Like Paul Thomas Anderson has his old friend John C. Reilly come here, get like green makeup on to pretend to be Grandpa Munster for like 10 seconds. It's great. Like, and it says a lot about him as well.
Yeah, that he'd be happy to do that.
Yeah.
He does seem like a great guy. Yeah, I'm thinking, does he feature... No, he doesn't really feature. I was thinking, does he feature in anything else that I've got coming up?
Featuring two of mine.
Can I give you my number three, Terry?
Yes, please.
Now, this is a very tough one. I'm going to go with Pineapple Express. Now,
this was always a big one for you. This was one.
Yeah. And I just, weirdly, me and Kerry quote it all the time. We just...
And it's going to be cold tonight, asshole.
Or the bit that, for whatever reason, the bit that gets us all the time is like the... We say this literally almost every night. where, do you remember when Seth Rogen and James Franco are like in the car and after
done with night, the woods, man. Yeah,
done with the woods, man. Let's go. Okay, I can't start it. You know, we say that every time we're like downstairs and we're going up to bed. We're like, done with the woods, man. Let's go.
really? Yeah.
Yeah. Every single night.
But even just the way his delivery of it, it's like his eyes.
It's
his
like he's clothes, ready. Like done with the. Like, yeah.
He's like, okay, no.
And he does that loads in it, James Franco, when like your man's about to point the gun at him, he's like I'm ready to go. You know? But
even but the that bits one, at the start, like, I thought hurricane season was over.
Ah, cross joint.
Yeah.
Never smoked one of those?
You can smoke this?
Yeah, man.
No.
This is the future. This is like the apex of the vortex of joint engineering. It's rumored that M.M. O'Shaughnessy designed the first one, the guy who designed the Golden Gate Bridge.
Of course.
My second favorite civil engineer behind Hans Carl Bandel, Madison Square Garden. What you do is you light all three ends at the same time.
Really?
And then the smoke converges, creating a trifecta of joint smoking power. This is it, man. This is what your grandchildren are going to be smoking. Future. The future.
That's amazing. Well, got the weed
yeah.
in the bag. Beautiful. Okay. Be careful with that thing, man. Here's the cash. Grab the stash. Alrighty, man. Thanks. Have a good one. Don't hurt yourself. Adios.
And it was so relatable at the time, like the dealer who wants to always hang out with you, and like you're just like, and there's
there's the money, and there's
I don't drugs. Think yeah. I've ever related to someone in a show more where he's like, and there's the weed in the bag. Okay, great, thanks. I'll see you next time. You know, like that's it.
Yeah.
Or even like Danny McBride when he went to his house,
the thing that like exploded him.
Yeah, didn't it?
In my sphere of things, yeah. Like, you know, like,
and then I seen him loads so after that. But there's another bit that we quote all the time when he's like, he's tied up, and it's just a little noise that he made when he gets shot. He's like, like when he gets shot in the stomach. You remember? Because he barely moves. Like this. And it's just so like, after I was going to make you all fish tacos. It's like, I'm totally about to bust the flex out of here. Doesn't budge. It's just like
it's a really good action comedy.
Yeah, it's an action. It's like a stoner action movie. Yeah.
And they said it. They said they wanted to make something like the 1980s movies, that like buddy comedies that you would see. And it was like, that's where they got Huey Lewis to do Pineapple Express song, because like, what's more 1980s than Huey Lewis and the News? Like, you know, it's fucking deadly. Like, brilliant. It's a real labor of love to her. Perfect. It was weird because until James Franco kind of got cancelled or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they were such a, like, dynamic, like, it was, like, almost like Hope and Crosby or something. Yes. This duo of, like, oh, these guys could make movies together for the next 20 years.
And they'd all be like, funny, yeah.
Yeah. And
but, yeah, Franco was excellent in it. I remember that was a big, departure for him at the time. He was, like, a bit of a heartthrob at the time, wasn't he? Or had he done comedy at that stage?
He had done, like, Freaks and Geeks.
Right.
And he had done, like, he was funny, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he had tried to make it as, you know, the serious actor. And he'd done his Spider-Man movies and stuff like that. And like you say, he's done like Tristan and Isolde and, you know, stuff like that. And then it was like, they were like, he was kind of just like, I'm just going to go back and make movies with my friends
and be funny
again. Like, you know, yeah.
It seemed like they just had so much fun. Like, there's the cop car scene where he's driving with his foot through the window.
Yeah.
And all. There's just so many little things that happen in it. I would say it's probably about maybe 20 minutes too long. It was a bit of a long one, as Judd Apatow movies tend to be.
Not Judd Apatow.
Fucking, what am I talking about? Jesus, showed myself up there. But it was as
David
long.
Gordon Green.
It was as he's, long as as
his fingerprints are on it, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good movie. I have it on my list of 20, you know.
You've ranked the 20.
No, but I have my 2 5s, right?
Okay.
I loved it when it came out, went to see it in the cinema, thought it was fucking amazing. Yeah. Like, you know,
really
just
good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hit me with your number 2. I've given you mine, so we'll just go to yours. Oh, I will say, sorry, just sorry to interrupt you.
Finger up there again.
I know, how rude. Who do I think I am here?
No, that one was more of like, oh,
excuse
like, oh,
please,
me.
Please. Yeah. One honourable mention about Superbad that I forgot to say was that, like, what I loved was on the DVD, the main menu dance, the silhouettes that Michael Cera is doing, was a straight hour of him dancing. Like not looped. Like he just they just set it up and he just did this dance for a whole hour and they put it as the silhouette as the main menu and they were like, someone is gonna watch this and wait for it to start again and it's never gonna start again and they're gonna say, what's going on? Or whatever. I thought that was such a nice touch for the DVD. Like that was when they really
I'm such a fucking nerd for that shit. Like,
yeah, you know? I miss the sort of main menu. I miss the bonus features.
That's why I'm buying my Blu-rays, man.
I don't know why Netflix or whatever streaming can't have like bonus material as an option there. They have, you know, if everything
care.
Else
they don't yeah, care cost it. Money like that's
just
it.
Look at their synopsis, like whatever the fuck, just watch it. It's like, but he's about to learn, it's like, it's all these like ridiculous, like who's writing these
anyway. Okay, my number
sorry.
Two
sorry.
Come on. Just trying to keep the train on the tracks here. Okay. My number two is...
That was in my honorable mentions. Yeah. Number one?
Jackass number two.
Oh,
my
number
favorite,
two.
My favorite of the three. I will tell you, I'm going to see Jackass Forever tomorrow. All going well.
Are you excited?
I just can't wait to laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
I love Johnny Knoxville.
I can't wait to see the gang back together.
Ah,
I love their dynamic.
Family.
Yeah.
It's a real family. You know what I mean? Like
they're just having a good time.
You know, and like, so Jackass number two for me was the one. I don't think I've seen Jackass the movie since it first came out.
Right.
I remember they were in Japan in it, I think was the big thing.
It was okay.
But Jackass number two was like,
that was
the whole,
hilarious.
I've probably talked your ear off about this before, but like the whole narrative of Knoxville going to Hollywood, not quite working out for him as like, you know, he's in Dukes of Hazzard, he was in Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
He didn't quite make it as a star.
Yeah.
But he comes back and he wants to like, he's so determined to push it so more. And like the whole thing, like the... I think it's the ball bearings one where it's like him, Bam,
Jackass 2.
Him, Bam, and Ryan Dunn, where it's like the police riot gear, you know, ball bearings, and they're like, fuck that, we're not doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what are we doing? He's like, come on. Like, he's like, real getting annoyed at the mobs. They're like, they eventually end up doing it where it's like, they're standing, like Ryan and Bam are standing with like stuff shielding their nuts.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, I think he just has his hands over them.
Yeah.
And they, like, you see they're like purple and black bruises from them. But he's like, how's the face? Are we okay? He's like, then we're good. And I was just like, so like taken by it. When it came out, I watched it like when we had it on DVD. I didn't go see it in the cinema as well. That was the thing. We had it on DVD. No.
Uh-huh.
We had it on DVD and just like, just always having it on.
It was hilarious. And like even Jackass 2.5, Jackass 3.5, like all these little extra ones that they have are also great. You know what I mean? Like they're all so watchable.
Like it's just, I'll never have a bad time watching that movie.
Yes.
I will never have a bad time watching it. And like, I always remember as well, say it was the first time, like I was living in Clontarf. First time Faye had gone to stay, she'd gone to visit her sister, so I actually had the place to myself. I remember being like, she'd come back on the Monday, last day, like, what am I going to do? What am I going to watch? I had the place to myself, I'm going to smoke a joint. What am I going to watch that's going to make me really kind of happy? And I remember just like,
Jackass
2, stick it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Had such a fucking great time watching it. I just did the rewatch there, like, last summer. It's still fucking wholesome. There's something so... It's so simple. It's so wholesome. It's just a bunch of guys dicking around.
Yeah.
Having fun. But it's just... For me, it's so...
It's like a warm like, blanket.
It's almost like life-affirming. You know what I mean? Like, it's like these guys that like... Like, let's be honest. What's their real day job?
Yeah.
Like, what's not Dave England, the other guy.
Aaron.
Like, what's he get up to when he's not doing Jackass? Like,
you got a fucking gun, dumb shit. Come on, get the fuck out here.
Don't fucking move.
Don't point the gun at me anymore. You lay down. Shit. Fuck.
Just fucking relax, dude. Fuck, it's a gun, dude.
Fuck.
What the fuck you want from us?
Get up.
Get up, Aaron. Get the fuck up. I don't know what
to do. Why should I get up? You have me on the fucking ground.
Aaron, here's a fucking gun. Just get the fuck up, dude. We gotta get the fuck out of here.
Get in there.
No, fuck you.
Just do what he says, dude.
Get the fuck in the trunk.
Well, he's got a fucking gun pointed at me, fuckface, asshole.
Get in the fucking trunk.
Get in the trunk. Shit, man. You fuck me up, I'll fucking find you somehow or something.
Aaron, just get in.
Seriously. Why am I getting the fuck in the back of this fucking cab, dude?
He got a fucking gun.
Get the fuck back here.
Dude, just fucking put the gun down.
You shut the fuck up.
No.
Oh, fuck,
dude.
Holy shit.
Fuck.
What the fuck, dude?
Get the fuck on the ground. Fucking serious.
Hey, man. I'm bleeding.
Yo, no. Yo, we're filming. Fuck you. No, get the fuck out of here.
We're fucking filming right now. Hey, that's Bill Margera, dumb shit. He's famous. Listen to him.
Look, Brad, look, there's cameras. There's sound guys. We're filming a fucking movie, dude.
This guy's got a dynamite vest on.
Put the gun down. Hey, put the gun down, dude.
Please.
Oh, he shot me.
Come on. Preston, you little fucking idiot. Get me the fuck out of here.
Please, sir. Please, sir.
What the fuck?
You know, but like when they're together, when this group come together, these family, when they come together, it's just magic.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't replicate it.
It's such a shame that sorry to just turn that to the negative, but it's such a shame that they can't get Bam together for...
He's in the new one, apparently. He's in the new one, like in a group shot or a couple of group shots. Like somebody was saying there's a marching band sketch that you see him in, you might hear him a little bit in, but like he's not like this is Bam and this is the B bus or whatever. Like, you know,
so
what I mean?
It's
like, there's nothing
like
that.
He's a background character, like one of the cameramen or something, or like one.
He's like, he's dressed up in the marching band, but he's just not featured. So it's like he was fired off it because he couldn't keep the sobriety.
Yeah,
they wrote it into everybody's contract.
Yeah,
I think it was in solidarity with Steve-O, because in number three, he was clean, but then they all were like, "We'll on set, we're not gonna have anything."
Oh, did they?
But you can see it that they're all way more scared.
I remember thinking that for three, I was like, "Jesus, Steve-O's still doing this shit," like without being off his face this time.
They all look, but like Knoxville, all of them, they look older. They look way more scared because they're not fucking like on whatever.
Like the that was the Electric Avenue one. Was that Jackass 3? Or
that was three. Yeah.
It just looked so unhappy with it, like, you know.
But two, like,
that was peak Jackass, I think.
That was peak Jackass. Like, you have the bit as well with the rocket. Like, this kind of sums Knoxville up.
Yeah,
it's like it could have like killed him.
Yeah, just like that.
Woo-hoo! And then like he does it again.
Yeah,
you get like my favorite point in any Jackass is like, the best of times and now.
Oh yeah.
who knows and then just like punches down on the thing, like and then
it just
like,
opens up.
The best of time is now. I love it. Like, so that was, it's my number two.
Brilliant.
And
I feel happy just even talking about that.
So good. I can't wait. I actually can't wait to go see it tomorrow.
I'm gonna stick that on. I'm gonna
can't wait. So we went to see 3 in the theatre.
Yeah.
And it didn't, because we went to see 3D.
Yeah.
It didn't hit for me. I think if I'd went to see normally.
Yeah, it was geared towards 3D as well. Like, they had lots of shit going towards the camera.
Paintball and stuff. And, but
dildos and stuff.
I was watching it non-3D. It doesn't, you know, that's...
You don't,
doesn't take
you don't
away
lose
from the
that.
Laughs.
Yeah,
exactly,
you don't lose that. All right, well, are we at number one?
Yeah. I think we're going to have the same one.
I'm going to go with a movie from 2002. Old School.
You know it.
Yes.
And my number one too.
Excellent.
The best one. Like,
it was, talk about, this was actually a ground, this opened the door for all of them, I feel. I don't think there was one before this.
Well, this was the one, because I remember reading about this on Channel 4 teletext, that it was like Will Ferrell, Luke Wilson and Vince Vaughn are going to be in this. And I was like, Will Ferrell? Like, whatever, yeah. Like, because Vince Vaughn and Luke Wilson were kind of known names. But I was like, oh, like, this is the big one for Will Ferrell. Like, he's getting with these movie stars. And he's like a lead in the movie. Again, like, how much of a fucking nerd I was. They were like so excited for it. And like, again, like, didn't see it in the theater, but like, had the DVD. And the DVD.
Yeah.
Just, I've watched it on DVD, what, 50 times?
But you know what? Like, I haven't actually seen it in years. I'm just not moving it from number one because I have such a, like...
You can't move it. It's the best one.
And I remember specifically, me and fellow patron Simo went to the cinema to see it. And I remember we didn't know much about it, like, at all. We just went because it was like, oh, it's whatever, it's a comedy. And I just remember from the first few minutes of just like Vince Vaughn trying to talk him out of it as she's walking down the aisle. It's like, this is it, now or never, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And I just remember like thinking, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I always laughed, like Simon kind of summed it up when we were watching it, of like when lots of stuff happens and then Blue dies and then you just have Will Ferrell like, ah, close. He was like, that was the moment where you're like, right, what's going on in this movie? <You know? laughs> And it's just like it was like nothing I'd ever seen. Like, it was just such a surprise hit. I didn't know anything about it going in, and I just remember thinking, holy shit, this is hilarious.
I always have a great memory of like me and you like hanging out on like a Saturday afternoon down your place in Rohini. Yeah. And it was like we'd gotten high, and then it was like, what are we gonna do? And I was like, we stick on Old School.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You're like, what? And like, stick it on. And like, the bit where it's like Snoop Dogg is performing, and then yeah. I was like, wait for it, Andy. You're like, what? And it's man, tap to resonate. This guy. It was just, you're always finding new things in that,
you know,
movie.
What? It's the little things, like,
yeah.
I don't know why I always find funny, and I think of it all the time, having a good time. If when Vince Vaughn's like, you having a good time? And Luke will say, I'm having a great time. You know? It's just, I don't know what it is. He's just funny to me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like some of the best line readings, like something Faye is watching The Bachelor at the moment.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's like, I don't even know why I'm watching it, but they're like, if I don't get with this guy, I'm literally gonna die. And I turn to face like figuratively. Like every time. And then, like, it's something like I do it in the Vince Vaughn cadence from Old School. Yeah. I'll literally give you the keys.
I was only
figuratively.
I was only just talking to Kerry about an hour before we started a podcast, and I said that's a line that me and Terry use all the time. Yeah. I'm just like, anytime anyone says literally, it's like figuratively.
Yeah. Or like, he's like, sorry, I got some questions here. Do you mind if I ask you? I'm like, absolutely not. Yeah. But thanks for just closing the door. Like, remember, heaven.
Yeah. Cheese.
Cheese.
But it was, I just remember at the time, and I remember cracking up at even the peripheral characters of, I remember we still kind of use it
Wincy.
A lot. Or Brian Callen in it, where he's like, lady, you are very beautiful, but this man, he is the king, and all this sort of stuff. And then she goes off, he's like, ah, love, she is a motherfucker. Like, who is this guy? Get away from him.
Yeah, like, it's very broad, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a lot of the stuff that, like Will Ferrell, we're going streaking.
We're going streaking.
You're like, okay, yeah, but also, like, I still find it really endearing. It's like, when he sits in, he's like, can we go to KFC?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Or like, Sean William Scott, be like, there's a fucking dart in your neck.
Like, yes! Something, and like, Vince Vaughn as well, can I just say, like,
Still holding.
With the cigarette. Yeah. He's like, we're going to get, it's like, hey, can you ear muffle for me? We're going to get so much ass. Like, you know?
It was like, just, I'm fucking tired. He's like, why are you gonna do it?
Yeah. Huh?
All you gotta do is say earmuffs. I can say fuck shit, whatever. He's like, cunt. He's like, okay, Frank, don't abuse it.
I'm making a point, don't overdo it.
You look a little pale, Mitch. You need to breathe. A little blood up in your face there, will you?
I don't want to breathe.
But you should be proud of yourself. Do you have any idea how hard it is to land a girl as sexually enlightened as Heidi is? A girl like that comes around, what, once every 100 years?
I wasn't looking for a girl like that.
Well, Columbus wasn't looking for America, my man, but that seems to work out for everybody, didn't it? You're here. You know what I mean?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys one last time for being here. It's the best day ever.
Don't even start with me, Franklin. Okay, you need to walk away from this ASAP.
What?
You need to get out, Frankie. Well, this is it, Frank. It's now or never. You need to get out of here while you're still single.
I'm not single.
She's 30 yards away from you. You're still single right now.
Come on. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Once you give that 6 months, you don't think that's going to change? I got a wife, kids. Do I sound like a happy guy to you, Frankie? Yeah, there's my wife. Now, see that? Always smiling. Hi, honey. Judging, watching. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
She's coming down the aisle, Beanie. Let it go.
All right, let me be the first to say congratulations to you, then. You get one vagina for the rest of your life. Real smart, Frank. Way to work it through.
Yeah, but it was just the perfect. And again, I think we would have been 16, 17 at the time.
It's really, like I say, like 18, 19 for me, where you're just devouring it constantly. Like, you know.
I'd love to watch it again, actually, because just Vince Vaughn around that time. Like, I will say, like we'll get to the honorable mentions now after, but Wedding Crashers for me, it didn't make my top five because
it's aged poorly. Like,
it's aged probably worse out of all of them, I'd say.
It's pretty bad. But Vince, some line deliveries in that.
Vince Vaughn is just at a 10 the whole time. And one of my favorite scenes in any of these movies that we've talked about is when he's talking, he's like, sure, her mom just made me feel her boobs or whatever. It's like,
what's wrong with you? Why you got the weird look all over your face?
Claire's mom just made me grab her Hooters.
Well, snap out of it. What, a hot older woman made you feel her cans? Stop crying like a little girl.
I wasn't crying like a little girl.
Why don't you try getting jacked off under the table in front of the whole damn family and have some real problems? Jackass. What were they like anyway? They look pretty good. Are they real? Are they built for speed or for comfort? What'd you do with them? Motorboat? You play the motorboat? You motorboating son of a bitch. You old sailor, you. Where is she? She still in the house?
What is wrong with you?
What do you mean, what's wrong with? What's wrong with you?
No, what's wrong with you?
No, what's wrong with you? You're projecting.
Drop it.
You drop it. You stop projecting on me. Why don't you go enjoy yourself while I go ice my balls and spit up blood?
Drop it!
Team player.
You motorboating son of a bitch, you old sailor, you. And then he's like, what's wrong with you? He's like, what do you mean, what's wrong with me? And like, he's just at a 10 the whole time. You know?
I love that. He's like, I'm going to ice my balls and spit up blood. Team player.
Yeah. It's like, I got a stage four like clinger. Like, let's go.
He's like, you're not that good of a dancer. Oh, shut up. We both know I'm a fantastic dancer.
But Vince Vaughn makes that movie, but that one really doesn't. Like, even in the terms tonally it doesn't hold up, but also just in the, it's very dated. Like, the scenes with Rachel McAdam and all are very
like Bradley Cooper is like the muscle bound Chad in it, really aggressive,
but yeah, old school, top of the list. Now, do you want to go through your back then top five? Yeah,
because we've had a lot of crossover. I'll just do mine quick. Okay,
go for it.
Number five is Pineapple Express because I just fucking loved it at the time.
Nice,
amazing. Number four was Wedding Crashers again. I can't wait to see that in the cinema. I just loved it. And again, another one that just, we'd be having drinks in the house or smoking joint, whatever, all the time. Three, Superbad. Two, Jackass number two. And one was Anchorman.
Ah, I thought so.
And I think the reason why, like, say, old school isn't on my top five, because it took me, I don't know why, like, I was so excited to see it. And then I just never went to see it, or like the reviews were bad or something.
Yeah.
And it took that couple of years for me to kind of get into it. Anchorman, went to see it open at night. Like,
I think that was your bag.
Yeah. Like when as soon as I glommed on to any of these ones on my list, they were, you know, always on, always watched, like, you know.
Yeah. I would say I'll give a quick top five myself. Knocked Up would be up there for
just
me.
Just outside for me. Like,
I originally had it on my top five now. I thought it was one of the best movies from start to finish. Again, they dealt with the
really
serious
movie.
Stuff well. Really good movie. I remember loving it at the time. So Knocked Up. Then I had Pineapple Express, Superbad, Anchorman, and Old School.
See, that's where we differ. You got to have that, like,
mine are largely similar, to be honest.
Yeah, you got to have that hit, the cinema hit.
Yeah, and it made all the difference.
I had a couple of ones that, like, Dodgeball.
Oh yeah,
was
didn't
one
even have that,
that
one?
That was like
that.
One that was like constantly on.
I do remember that.
I still think it's fucking deadly. I still think it's great. Like,
what are the honor?
I'll go through. Like, you mentioned Knocked Up, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah,
was another one. 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, not as good now.
Still pretty good.
I liked it at the time. I don't really like that one anymore.
I went to see it in the cinema. I liked it. Role Models.
Role Models just missed out on my top five.
Good.
That is so funny.
Oh my lord, Minotaur.
It's one of Ken Jeong's best performances as well, I think, is the King.
I actually don't like
him. I love him as the King.
No, I don't like him.
As he's coming down the castle.
American Pie 2.
I had that.
Yeah.
Me, Myself, and Irene. Do you have that?
Have that, yeah.
Hey, that was my
Tropic
jam.
Tropic Thunder?
Yeah, I liked Tropic Thunder. I didn't love it.
I think I liked it more than most.
Yeah.
It had that sweet spot of movies.
Yeah,
and an all-star cast.
Starsky and Hutch.
I didn't have it on. I should have had it on. Fuck,
that was good, wasn't it?
That was
my
one
man.
We had all the time. Like, gotta give it up to my man, Denson.
My man, Denson. Yeah.
Okay, David Stebsky. Like, it's Starsky right back at you. Harold and Kumar.
Oh, of course. Don't even have any of them on. Yeah.
Harold and Kumar. Hot Rod.
Not so much. Yep.
No. You were never a Napoleon Dynamite guy, were you?
I liked it at the time.
It's a good movie.
I pretended I liked it more than I did, though.
I think it was... No, like, it's only the last 5 years that I've...
Right.
Like, really come around to it. I think it's quite a good movie. Team America World Police?
Oh, of course.
America.
Classic. How good was that?
It's fucking really good, like. Yeah. And the whole thing, like... The, like, getting sick... In the
iconic
like, scene. Whenever I don't drink to the extent that I will get sick like that, but like we've all had our Team America World Police sick moment where it's
sure
literally
have.
Like a fire hose of like blah!
Big thick stream.
Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny.
Ooh.
The Pick of Destiny.
Interesting.
I love it.
I didn't even think of that. I like it now. I love it now. I didn't like it at the time, though, I will say.
I think that's my last one I've had there.
Yeah, I think you've named all mine. Starsky and Hutch. I had Jackass 1, but I should have gone with Jackass 2 because that is better. Oh, Blades of Glory.
Yeah, I decided to leave it off. I wasn't...
Not a huge fan of that one?
That would be like... Again, I would kind of group that in before Step Brothers.
You'd have Hot Rod over Blades of Glory?
Yeah, I love Hot Rod, man.
I haven't seen Hot Rod.
I think, like... It's so good. It's really...
What year was that?
It's like...
Hot.
2007. Yeah. Like, it's so fucking good. Like, if you look back on that now, you're like, oh, like, this is before Andy Samberg went mainstream and he's still kind of being weird with his friends.
Right,
like, there's a bit in it where it's like they're doing this march through town and it's like, you're the voice I'm understanding. And like everybody... And then like... Somebody starts like smashing the window of a car, and then all of a sudden, like they're doing this like real like powerful walk. Then the whole town is just being looted while like you're the voice gonna understand.
But yeah, a real golden era for.
I would have put Popstar on my honorable mention.
Does
if,
make it?
If, yeah, it's 2012 or something, but it's fucking deadly. You like it?
I liked it at the time. Yeah,
yeah. Would have been your top five anyway. Top five at the time. Yeah, Forgetting Sarah Marshall is fantastic.
Really, like I miss some of them hold up better than others, but like I do miss those sort of. Just even give me a buddy comedy. Give me a comedy that's a flat out comedy that doesn't have to have drama in it to be considered Google. Seriously.
Right, 2020 comedies in 2020.
Best, I'll check best comedies of the last 10 years.
They can't even give me it. They just like comes up like popular 2020 movies. Like here's comedy.
Like they give me Paddington. Like.
Well, Paddington's great. I don't wanna,
it is great. Inside Out. Come on now. Yeah, they're all We're the Millers.
It's supposed to be good. Like I'm looking
the at Nice Guys.
Here. Nice Guys is great. We watched it. I'm looking at one here, like in popular 2020 comedies, like Palm Springs, which is good, but that's more of a rom-com.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're all something else.
American Pie, Girls Rules. The War Against Grandpa. Eurovision, which, yeah.
You liked it.
Yeah, it's good, but I wouldn't be like, you know. I
wouldn't say it's, yeah, up there.
No, but, yeah, but I tell you what, Borat was like,
oh yeah,
Borat 2, and like the Borat I was thinking of putting on it there, like that was one
the original cinema.
yeah fucking loved it, but there's very little, like, you know,
it's the thing, like they're weird. They all good seem like comedies kind of, and good horrors, they're hard to come by.
No, good horrors are
harder way,
no, there's way better horrors these days.
Oh, now, yeah,
no, in 2020, like, or whatever, like, you know what, yeah. I mean, like, but like,
well, listen,
we've
hit an hour here, so the half an hour policy went out the window.
Yeah. I knew it wasn't going to be half an hour.
No chance.
You know what the best? I've got it. The best comedies of the last 10 years, mm-hmm, were the 21 and 22 Jump Street.
Yeah,
the two best ones that they came closest to getting that, you know, mid 2000s. I mean, This Is the End as well.
I was just looking up This Is the End, yeah, 2013.
That's, yeah, so like.
Which I didn't like that much at the time, but love it now.
I loved it when I went to see it.
Yeah.
But something like What We Do in the Shadows is very funny, but completely different to like a studio comedy, you know what I mean? Like,
it's totally different. It's like a mockumentary sort of style.
Yeah. Like Bridesmaids was great, but like.
I didn't see all the Bridesmaids. I've seen most of it, but it's funny though.
Great.
Well, look, Terry, it's 25 to 12, and I have work tomorrow, so don't know about you.
Sucks to be you.
I'm going to get some sleep now. So yeah, this was fun. This was a hard one to do, to be honest. Yeah.
Next week, what have we got?
Oh yeah, what should we do next week? Want to do the Arctic Monkeys one next week, Terry?
I'm not ready.
Just listen to the album. 30 minutes on your travels.
I was thinking.
Anyway, go on.
This is, I'm pitching
this
it to you.
This is unbelievable. Give me one.
Pitching it to you live.
Okay, fine. I'm going to give you my live off-air response.
Top 5.
Okay. Okay, you fucked me.
Bruce Springsteen for me. Billy Joel for you. You gotta pick your seeds, and we put it up on the Patreon for the patrons to vote on which song is better. So if I'm picking if I want my best Bruce Springsteen song, number one, against your best Billy Joel song, we talk it out here, and then afterwards we put a little poll up on the Patreon
for our
patrons to vote on, to say Terry's right, Andy's right.
I feel like Bruce Springsteen's going to get more love than Billy Joel gets, though.
Well, if you pick your five best.
You know that Billy Joel.
You said it last week. Put your money where your mouth is, man.
Hey, I'm confident. I'm okay, fine. How about that?
But also, we'll be able to talk it out. So if I pick my fifth best Bruce Springsteen song, and you pick maybe, you know, an amazing Billy Joel song at your number five. If you put like your favorite, you know.
How about this? Can we try next week to both of us take a step back and say,
I love them both, Andy. I love them both.
So if say number four, like, you'd be like, you know, or me or whatever, just be like, you know what, like, if we're being objective, yes, that's probably a better song. I'm going to give you that.
If you manage to put like one of my favorite Billy Joel songs at number four and it beats my, then in theory it would beat out my fourth favorite, Bruce Springsteen. I'll be open to that. Don't worry. So it's
Battle of the Blue Collars.
You know it. The Blue Collar Battlers.
Yes.
Yes. I'll come up
with that. Yes, rather. Great idea, Terry. And my live reaction is 100% yes. I'd love to do that.
That's why I earned my title as creative director.
Again, self-proclaimed title of creative director.
Worth every penny.
Now, but do you think, should we put them on a playlist?
Yeah, we can do that too.
Beforehand? Is that stupid? Oh yeah, of course it is.
Stupid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we can't blow our wad. Anyway, look, I'm gonna go to bed.
Thank you so much for supporting the podcast, guys out there. You know, we really, really appreciate it. Because you're behind the paywall, you get the big L from me. I love you.
Huge L from me. You know you get it.
That throbbing, throbbing L.
All right, then.
Keep it tight.
Good morning, Your Honor. May I approach the bench? I don't give a damn what anyone thinks. I stay up all night and I smoke and I drink. I'm a wanted man and I'm blowing town. Don't waste your time trying to hunt me down. The cops are saying I belong behind bars, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I ain't never lost a fight in my life. I'll send you home crying to your fat and ugly wife. If you don't believe me when I tell you this, well, let me introduce you to my rock hard fist. If you're accusing me of living too hard, well, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. I ain't asking God to forgive my sins. Take a good look and you'll know where I've been. I'm dancing with the devil every night and every day. People pay attention to the things that I say. Hey, I don't need anybody's help to rise above it. If you don't like the way I'm living, buddy, why don't you shut it? When you feel the ground shaking underneath your feet, oh, that's yours truly walking down the street. Come a little closer, girl, I'll show you my scars. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. If you're saying my love is too large, then I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. Oh, I'm guilty. I'm guilty as charged. You got me. I'm guilty as charged.